Good morning again, and we have already had a full morning, right? It might be a Christmas miracle, okay, but I'm going to keep it short. Here we go. So we're going to do things a little bit different this morning. I'd like to give us just kind of a meditation as we head into our time of communion to help prepare our hearts for our time of taking communion together. We got 4 days until Christmas, y'all. I don't know if you realize that. 4 days. It is the 21st, which means if you're still looking for the perfect gift, your time has expired. Okay, so you can't get anything like monogrammed or whatever. It is time to go to CVS and just panic at this point. So we've been talking, as Brian mentioned, about the gifts that were brought to Jesus, right? We've got this gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And what I'd like to talk about this morning is how those were literally the perfect gifts for baby Jesus. You think about a baby shower and like, what is the perfect gift to bring a baby? A lot of times you bring diapers, you bring burp cloths and that kind of stuff, and lovies and little stuffed animals and things, and most of those really go to the parents. But like, what's the perfect gift? I like gold. Gold would have been great for our baby showers. Like, give me a bar of gold for me and Katie, but I don't have the right kind of friends, I guess. But today I want to talk about myrrh. You see in Matthew 2, right, how the wise men, they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So what exactly is myrrh? Myrrh is a bitter, fragrant tree resin, most often used as a burial spice. So think about it like this. Myrrh is like embalming fluid. How weird is that? A baby shower, somebody shows up, I'm giving you embalming fluid. Mama's like, what? What's that about? And this wise man says, well, it's because your baby is going to die. Mama's not happy with that gift. But this is the perfect gift for Jesus. It is a burial spice that they brought to him. It was the perfect gift for Jesus because it demonstrated a type of life that he would live. The type of life that he would live, not only the type of death he would die, but the type of life he would live was a life of surrender. It was a life of surrender, all the way unto death. From the very beginning, Jesus' life is demonstrated or is pictured in this gift of myrrh, saying that this is a burial spice. This is how the story ends, but it's also how the story begins. I said, your whole life will be one of surrender. So this is the one point. This is the one sermon point today. The way which Christ was to die shows us the way which we are to live. The way which he was to die shows us the way which we are to live, which is a life of surrender. His death was a death of surrender. And his life was a life of surrender. And he's teaching us, even in this little gift of myrrh, that our lives are to be lives of surrender if we're going to follow in the Jesus way. He came to die. The myrrh represents that from the very beginning, it was prophesied that this one would die for us, okay? And so this gift of myrrh is saying, this is your story. His life is bookended by this myrrh. You see here, when the wise men are bringing him myrrh, and then you fast forward into John 19, the picture of Nicodemus. Remember when Nicodemus brings 75 pounds of myrrh and aloe mixture to prepare Jesus for burial? Isn't that wild? You got to think, I mean, there's a whole different sermon here of Nicodemus thinking about John chapter 3, about what it means to be born again. And he's literally handling the dead body of Jesus, the one who was telling him what it took to be born again. So there's myrrh again at the very end. And then you even have this group of women that came to the tomb with burial spices. But Jesus had already conquered death at that point, right? There was no Jesus. And so John 10, 17, Jesus gives us the picture of what he was doing here. He says he was surrendering his life. John 17 says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. So you think Jesus surrenders his life saying, nobody took it from me. I didn't quit. Nobody took it. He's saying, I literally laid it down for your sake. So Jesus is giving us a picture here of what our lives are supposed to look like. Our lives are supposed to smell and feel like myrrh. Surrender is the way forward in the kingdom. In Jesus' kingdom, surrender is the way forward. It is a kingdom of surrender, and Jesus modeled it. He chose to lay it down. Nobody took it from him. So the way that he lived, you see this all throughout his life. Jesus laid down his life for the will of God, right? In John 6, remember he said, I've come to do the will of God who sent me. Came to do the will of him who sent me. Luke 22, in the garden, when Jesus says, not my will, but what? Yours be done. He's surrendering to a greater will, to a more important will than what he thinks is best or what he wants most. He laid down his life for the sake of others. Mark 10:45, he said, he came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom. It's a life of surrender. He laid down his life for the joy set before him in Hebrews 12, like Brian already read this morning. For the joy set before him, he laid down his life. Nobody took it from him. He surrendered his time. How much you go through all throughout the Gospels and you see pictures of Jesus surrendering his time. People come to him, and he gets down on their level. He gets in the dirt with them. He says, your time is my time. He surrenders his time for the sake of others. He's present, and he's patient with others. He surrendered to the word. He knew what the word said, and then he walked in line with it. This is what the word says, and this is what I want to do. Does it align with the word? I'm going to surrender to this. This is the absolute authority of my life. He surrendered in prayer. It says in Scripture that very early in the morning, Jesus went to the mountainside to pray, right? Like that actually says very early in the morning. Jesus didn't wake up and say, no, my morning is me time. This is my time. No, he says like, God, the mornings are yours. They are yours. So he surrenders to a life of prayer. The point is this, his life always smelled like myrrh. He was living like one who has surrendered unto life and unto death. And so he teaches us the way in which we are to live. He shows us how to live. He invites us to lay it down in the same way that he did. He's inviting us to surrender our kingdom to find his. So when we surrender, this is what we're not saying. We're not saying when we surrender, Jesus, I have room for you in my kingdom. I can fit you in. But isn't that sometimes what it sounds like? Jesus, I'm going to fit you into this little pocket of my world, of my life. That is not surrender. What surrender really means is when we say, I want to abandon my kingdom, this kingdom that I spend so much time building and perfecting. I'm abandoning my kingdom to take part in your kingdom, Jesus. And I cannot believe that you've made room for me, that you're fitting me into your kingdom. So I will say yes to that. I want to be in the kingdom where you rule. Burger King says, you rule. You don't rule. And you don't want to be a part of a kingdom where you rule. That's not a kingdom. So Jesus is inviting us to live in the kingdom where he rules. And I know some of you, even right now, one of the beautiful parts about being a pastor is I get to walk with people. I know stories, and I know the common everyday struggles that people are walking through. I know there's one couple in our church right now that are like in this place where they're like, whatever you want, God. I didn't see this a couple weeks ago, but now you put me in a spot where you're like, oh man, I don't know how this is going to work out. Whatever you want, God, your kingdom come. Not my will, but yours. It is beautiful to walk with you guys that are in that spot. Because that moment where you come to the end of yourself, you stop depending on all of your awesomeness, right, and all of your plans, and you say, like, God, whatever you want, it's beautiful to watch. You think about Mary in the Christmas story. Think about the 9 months of surrender. God literally came to her and said, I'm going to ask you to surrender your body. Surrender your time. Surrender your morning sickness. Surrender it all for the sake of something that's much bigger. She lived a life that was a life of surrender. So surrender is the way forward. True freedom is found when we surrender our kingdom and his. I think about like those stickers on cars that say like salt life or those like whatever life, you know, beach life or whatever. We should probably get one that say like myrrh life. You know, like this myrrh life like live the myrrh life. The way that he died is the way that we live. Like no one takes our life, but we're laying it down. Our life smells like surrender. Do you think your life smells like surrender? Are there things right now that are just, you're white knuckling hard at the end of 2025? Even if you look into like 2026, you're like, man, it better go like this. It better work out in this way. I don't know what would happen if, and God's like, no, that's not how Jesus walked on this earth. It's a life of myrrh, right? Where we are surrendering it all. And so I want to close with this. I know close, pretty funny. Close with like really practical, maybe we need some myrrh this year, okay? So like you have a Christmas list, you know what like the perfect thing on your list is this year, you're hoping you get in a couple days. But these are gifts that potentially God might give us this year that are flavored like myrrh. They will give you opportunities to surrender this year. This is the gift list that he has written for us, which will give us opportunities to surrender, okay? Let me list a couple. He will give you this year in 2026, he will give you 365 mornings. His mercies will be new every single one. The sun will rise every single one. He'll give you new morning mercies, but it's 365 mornings that he gives you this year, a time for you to surrender every single morning. And even right now, I want you to think, what's the percentage this year where I will intentionally wake up and say, God, it's yours. I am laying it at your feet. God, you have given me this morning and it smells like tree resin, like myrrh. This morning, my time with you just smells like myrrh. God, you got to be in charge of this thing. It just doesn't go great when I'm in charge. I've tried so hard to run this ship and I got to let you be in charge. So 365 mornings. He may give you, if this is your stage of life, your spouse. That is a great opportunity for you to surrender. Ephesians 5 says, being a husband is a life of surrender. He says, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? He gave himself up for her. Oh, that's different view on marriage. That God has given me this person who I wake up with so that I can surrender all year long. I will give myself up for this person to help her flourish like a vine. Or maybe it's our children. And our children are probably the thing that causes us to be most tight-fisted. And God, this year will give you plenty of opportunities as you look at them to say, hey, surrender them to me, just like we did this morning. I'll say, you need to surrender them again and again and again. They are mine, and I've got incredible plans for them. Will you surrender them to me? Lay it down. And then serve them. Lay down your life for them. I already do that. Do it more. Serve them even more. One of our daughters got sick last night, Annie, and she's not feeling good, so she slept in our room last night. One of those like, is it going to be throw up every other hour kind of moments? And I didn't wake up once, because that's the wonderful man that I am. But I am confident that my wife woke up just like, I mean, whenever there's like a little stirring, she's up. She's up. It's like one of the most Jesus things you can do, to be attentive. And like any stirring, I'm going to keep serving and loving and serving and serving and serving. Moms, you guys are unbelievable. I'm a really good sleeper. Or maybe this year, God will give you lots of responsibilities. Man, you think about all the responsibilities that you have, even today, just to finish out this year. But he's going to give you just these responsibilities that are just myrrh in your life, for you to feel the crush and the pressure and to learn how to lay them down at his feet. He's either king or he's not. God, I've just got so much stuff to do. I just can't get it all done. He's like, I know. I didn't ever ask you to get it all done. I've already done everything. Will you allow me to just take it? Will you surrender all of your responsibilities? That is just myrrh. Every new responsibility that comes on your calendar, that is myrrh for you this next year. Maybe it's your daily planner. Do any of y'all like to control the outcome of things? Yeah, we're obsessed with controlling the outcome. Every day he will give us an opportunity to look at our planner and say, it's yours. This is what I think, kind of how it might possibly, maybe-ish go. But God, it's yours. I'm surrendering. I'm going to live a life of surrender. And it's all yours. I trust you. Why? Because it's your kingdom. The kingdom where you rule, where you are king. Maybe it's going to be a year of difficulty. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that, but all that we really need is on the other side of difficulty. Right? God uses that to train us for what he really has in mind. And so we come to a place in difficulty. One of the reasons God brings us difficulty is because he wants to bring us to a place where our mouths say, God, I can't. He says, now we're getting somewhere. When you say you can't, that's when we're getting somewhere. He must bring us to the end of ourselves. And so that difficulty that he has in store for you this year is going to be the perfect gift for you. It's going to be the myrrh that he chooses to give you and me. Maybe this year he gives you massive blessing. Massive blessing. Even that is myrrh because you have to surrender and lay down your blessing. Maybe it's friendships. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's scholarships. And you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that I've been given this thing. He says, now steward it. Steward it. It is a gift. Now steward it. The last two gifts he might give us this year, number one, or the second to last one is the church. He's given us the church so that we may lay down our lives for the sake of each other. You ever thought about that? That this place isn't necessarily for you, it's for the sake of those around you. If we all had that mentality of like, man, how can I just serve my brothers and sisters this year? That is myrrh. That's a life of surrender. The last gift he's going to give us this year might look like this. At our intercessory prayer nights, Suzanne has these little prayer pads for us to kneel on. Maybe this is the picture this year, at the end of this year it says like, hey, I don't need your awesomeness. I don't need the work of your hands. I need you on your knees. Yes, Lord. Yes. This year, Exchange, I want you on your knees. That is where the work of the kingdom actually happens. And I believe with everything in me that God is calling us to be a people who lead on our knees, and a people who fight on our knees, and a people who God will do nothing through until we humble ourselves before him and get on our knees. And he says, this is the life of surrender right here. But is that really accomplishing anything? It's accomplishing everything. The only things that matter. And so God's inviting us this year to live a life of surrender that you just sense myrrh every time you're on your knees. So as we approach communion this morning, today is about surrender. Communion's about surrender. We've come to the end of the year, and it's time to surrender. Communion is really about Jesus surrendering his real body for our real bodies. It's about the body and blood entering our body and our bloodstream, his life becoming ours. It's about him taking our burial spice and dying the death that we could never die, because he lived the life that we could never live. This picture of Jesus talking to his disciples and his followers, and he gives them this incredible opportunity to practice this often, right? And he saw his impending death, and he gave us this practice that would be practiced for the rest of time. And people have been doing it ever since that night. It's crazy. People have been doing it ever since that night. So we get to partake with him as we look back and we say, this is the surrender that he made. And then this morning, we have the opportunity to look forward and say, and so how then will I surrender? He showed me how. So how will I this year? So what I want to do this morning, here's how we're going to take communion this morning, a little bit different. I'm going to invite you to come up and take the elements and then take them back to your seat. And I want this morning to just be a very personal moment at the end of the year. Come up and take it, look back, see his surrender, look forward, and ask him. You won't know unless you ask him, God, what is it you're asking me to surrender? What's the thing this year? That's the amazing thing about the Spirit. He is going to work on everybody in a different way this morning. There is so much power in this room as he just like individually knows what is the thing, and he says, I'm going to ask you to have courage. I'm going to show you what that thing is. Maybe it's something that Ed said. Maybe it's something that happened in the process this morning. Maybe it's something he wants to just say even right now. Those words, it's like, oh, I did not walk in here this morning thinking that would be the thing. But he's like, there is going to be incredible freedom found when you surrender that thing. So I want you to just have a very personal moment this morning, even with the elements, as you look down at them and you just picture him on the throne and you in your proper place at his feet, at his throne. You not on the throne. Maybe that's what you have to surrender, is I'm sitting on your throne. God, I have no business trying to sit on your throne. I'm trying to control the outcome of everything. And I'm just, you are king, and I'm not. So I'm actually not going to come back up here and walk you through it. I just want you to have a personal moment with the Lord, as with the elements. Jesse and the team are going to play. And when you are ready, I want you to come take the elements, go back to your seat, and then take when you are ready. When you're at a place where you feel like, God, I can surrender this to you, and you have that specific thing, I want you to give it to him. Maybe it's future plans. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's controlling the outcome. Maybe it's mornings. Maybe it's you always being right. Maybe it's just flat out your little tiny kingdom. There's just a reason why that kingdom isn't satisfying. And he's saying, I'm tired. I'm tired. God's saying, I'm tired of you trying to build your own little kingdom. There's a better one I want you to be a part of. Maybe it's your relationship with the church. Maybe it's the blessing that he's given you. Maybe it's all your responsibilities. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your planner. It's your difficulties. Those things, however the Spirit is leading you this morning, I want you to take that honestly to him in our time of communion. As you take this morning, there's a gluten-free option right here to my right. Let me pray for us, and then I'll invite you to come and take. Father, in the Christmas story, we see a picture of a king, Herod, who was paranoid that you would overtake his kingdom. And so he tried to get rid of you. He tried to get rid of Jesus. And God, this morning, a lot of us are little Herods. We don't want you to bump up against our kingdom. And so as a people who claim and love and want to walk with you, God, we need to surrender. We need to live a life of myrrh. And we need to surrender to you. So God, whatever it is that you want to communicate this morning through the power of your Spirit, God, we trust you. We trust that you would do that. God, even now in the silence, that you would speak individually to the persons that you made who are sitting here in this room. They're not thinking about the people to their left and right. They're thinking about what you are calling them to surrender. God, speak. Spirit, only you know. Would you speak now? So God, as we reflect on the sacrifice that Christ made for us on our behalf, we say thank you. We are so grateful. We are eternally grateful for the surrender that Christ made on our behalf as he gave his body and his blood. And so now as we take and participate in his body and his blood, God, show us what to do. We're dependent on you. If that means going to the back where we have prayer partners and just saying, I don't know, I just need to give this thing up. God, I pray you give people courage to do that. Go pray with the willing and trained and able prayer partners that are standing in the back even now, even while eyes are closed, that they would get up and go to the back. God, just push them. Just invite them to your kindness. And Lord, maybe if we just need to look at the bread, look at the juice, which represents your blood, for a little bit this morning, and just ask even some more, God, that you'd be very, very clear. Help us to do what you're calling us to do this morning. God, you will do your part. You always do your part. You will take what we offer you. So give us the courage to offer it. God, as we close out 2025, God, may you just take that massive burden off of our shoulders of trying to run the world. We would give it back to you. God, we are so grateful for you.